content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the weeks of Monday, July 13th through Sunday, July 26th. 2026. The commentary for July was written by Tina Francis, a writer, photographer, and seminarian pursuing the priesthood in the Episcopal Church, born to South Indian parents, raised in Dubai, and shaped in Canada and Seattle. She carries many homes in her bones, an atlas of memory and migration. The commentary for Monday begins with a passage from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 14. Our life for yours. We will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land. Now here's the commentary. Rahab's roof was probably hotter than the inside of a parked car in July. Still, she shoved two sweaty spies under stalks of flax while the king's goons pounded on her door. This isn't a sanitized Sunday school tale. Rahab wasn't a respectable church lady. She was a sex worker who decided mid-chaos, okay, I'm throwing in my lot with these God folk, even if it kills me, which frankly it could have. I love her because she didn't suddenly morph into Mother Teresa. She was still Rahab, with bills to pay and a complicated reputation. And yet God used her. God needed her. And isn't that the kicker? I always think God wants somebody calmer, holier, with a filing system. But no, God's already weaving salvation through our busted-up, unshiny lives. Later, Rahab hangs a scarlet cord from her window. It flaps urgently. The risk is real, and the rescue's mutual. Faith dangling out a window, hollering like your loudest aunt. This way, honey. This way. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Joshua in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and spent the night there. The king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she had laid out on the floor. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before they went to sleep, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings, the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven, above and on earth below. Now then, since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith, that you will spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. The men said to her, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land." And the moving forward question for this Monday is, who's standing at your door today? What small, wobbly act of courage could you offer them? The commentary for Tuesday begins with a passage from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verse 20b. Do not become proud, but stand in awe. They told us chaplaincy is part of seminary, a root canal for your soul. So one summer I clipped on a badge and walked into a children's hospital, praying I wouldn't unravel before lunch. In the pediatric wing, I met her, the baby girl in the plexiglass box, eyelids thin as grape skin, heartbeat stuttering on the monitor like a bird's hiccup. Her parents slumped, folded into themselves. I wanted to say something comforting, but all I could offer was my clammy body in the room. Maybe that's all God ever asks, that you don't bolt. And awe arrived, the raw kind, the crackling mystery, the terrible weight of being alive, fragile and unreasonably loved. Paul says, you were grafted in, meaning you, the not-quite-sure believer, you who Googles how to pray at 2 a.m., you who tries to sing a hymn but just weeps. You're stitched into the rootstock, no gold star required. Forget strutting. You kneel, you stammer, you stay. And sometimes, if you're lucky, someone hands you a deck of Uno cards. You sit, you play. And wouldn't you know it, the kingdom moves closer. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 13 through 24. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I glorify my ministry in order to make my own people jealous, and thus save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy, and if the root is holy, then the branches also are holy. But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, a wild olive shoot, were grafted in their place to share the rich root of the olive tree, do not boast over the branches. If you do boast, remember that it is not you that support the root, but the root that supports you. You will say, "Branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in." That is true. They were broken off because of their unbelief. But you stand only through faith. So do not become proud, but stand in awe. For if God did not spare the natural branches, perhaps he will not spare you. Note that the kindness and the severity of God, severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness toward you, provided you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off. And even those of Israel, if they do not persist in unbelief, will be grafted in, for God has the power to graft them in again. For if you have been cut from what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted, contrary to nature, into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? And now the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, what does it mean to be a witness? Try silence. The commentary for Wednesday begins with a passage from the book of Joshua, again from the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 4b. For you have not passed this way before. This morning I saw a snail dragging itself across the sidewalk, its shell like a cracked thumbnail, going somewhere very slowly. And out of nowhere, a kid in a light-up sneakers and a too-big backpack bent down, said, "Hello, snail," and moved it over to the mulch, like it was no big deal, like she did this sort of thing all the time. It undid me. Maybe we're all snails with heavy shells. Maybe the promised land shows up in mulch and sneakers and a hand held open. A body paused, a breath taken, a gesture of such seemingly useless, exquisite care. I thought about it all day, that unexpected hand of God in a little kid. And I thought of Joshua standing at the edge of the Jordan, waters rushing, the people unsure. "You have not passed this way before," he tells them. "Keep your eyes on the ark. Trust that God is with you. Keep going, even when the way is uncertain, even when you're slow and small and scared." A kid moved a snail, and the world got gentler. And now I'm going to read this passage from Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. Early in the morning, Joshua rose and set out from Shittim with all the Israelites, and they came to the Jordan. They camped there before crossing over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place, follow it, so that you may know the way you should go, for you have not passed this way before. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, a distance of about 2,000 cubits. Do not come any nearer to it." Then Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." To the priest Joshua said, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on in front of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went in front of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, so that they may know that I will be with you as I was with Moses. You are the one who shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the edge of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan." Joshua then said to the Israelites, "Draw near and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that among you is the living God, who without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is going to pass before you into the Jordan. So now select 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. When the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan flowing from above shall be cut off. They shall stand in a single heap. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday is, who or what have you overlooked on the sidewalk of your life? Pause. Notice. Make room. The commentary for Thursday begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 13b. What she has done will be told in remembrance of her. My mom had anxiety. It didn't help that she had two daughters stumbling around half-dressed, missing a sock, while the school bus came barreling down the street. My mother, poor thing, was trying to run a household with the nervous system of a house cat during fireworks. And still, she packed our lunches. Not just lunch, art. Never the same sandwich twice. Pudina chutney, mint and cilantro ground into a tangy green paste. Keema, spiced ground meat with green onions. Panini pressed. Last night's dinner resurrected into an artisanal sandwich. How absurd for children who would inhale it in 15 minutes under fluorescent lights. And always a note. Her handwriting slanted and elegant. Do your best today. Enjoy, Mama. It reminds me of the woman in Matthew's gospel who poured perfume on Jesus. They called it wasteful. He called it remembrance, because love is always excessive. Women who love have always been this way, since Eve, since Mary, since my mom, since forever. Devotion is excessive. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 1 through 16. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people gathered in the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and they conspired to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." Now while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment onto my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, do something today that doesn't make sense except as love. Something beautiful, wasteful, and true. Now the commentary for Friday begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew as well, chapter 26, verse 22b. "Surely not I, Lord." It was early in our marriage. We were both still pretending, still trying to be good, still hoping to be the one who apologized last, not first. I said something too sharp. He said nothing at all, and the silence between us was a hallway. I didn't know how to cross it. Over dishes, over phone calls, over whose turn it was to fold the laundry, and always that question humming underneath, was I the bad guy here? But what if there are no bad guys? Love is not proof of your goodness. Love is the place where your damage shows up to testify. That's the terrible truth and the holy one. I read this gospel and see it. Every disciple says it. Is it me? They were really asking, can I be that cruel, that cowardly? Just that, human? Being the one who forgets to love well is unbearable. Jesus didn't answer the question. He just passed the bread and kept loving them anyway. Sometimes that's all there is. Not innocence, but communion. And now I'm going to read the full gospel passage from Matthew 26, verses 17 through 25. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." And the moving forward suggestion for this Friday, practice loving without needing to be innocent. The commentary for Saturday continues with the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, begins with 26b, which is, "Take, eat, this is my body." The room is swollen with heat and the musk of men who have walked too far, too long, feet calloused, hands split from nets and wood. Bread waits on the table, rough, crumbed, baked in someone's kitchen that morning, still warm and smelling of fire and hands. A cup, rim chipped from years of use, circles from mouth to mouth. The sourness of wine lingers. What one swallows, another will taste. He speaks, "This is my body." The room holds its breath. Bread in hand, they wait, unsure if they dare to chew. Peter clutches, Judas hesitates, John listens as though the words might split the air. They do not yet know the ache of hunger that will follow, how the bread will sit like sorrow in the belly once his body is gone. I've sat at tables like this, where grief crouched close, where the meal tasted of both survival and surrender, where we knew loss was coming, but still ate. Because what else could we do? Maybe this is grace, to eat anyway, to pass the bread with trembling hands, to taste love and the salt of fear. And now I'm going to read this passage from Matthew 26, from verses 26 through 35. While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Through all become deserters, though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday is, remember the last time you ate with someone who is now gone? Let that memory be prayer. To conclude our program this week, we begin with Psalm 139, verse 11a. "Darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day." There is a specific loneliness that comes after telling the truth. I don't mean the poetic kind of darkness, the stuff people say when they want to sound deep. I mean the real kind, the bottomed out kind, the "I messed up again" kind, the silence after saying the truth kind. When you want to curl in on yourself like a burnt match, when your voice shook and you said the hard thing, the right thing, and now you wonder if love still has room for you in it. But the night held. The room, though dim, did not disappear. The air still carried my name, and somehow, this is the mystery, I was still loved. Not for being brave, not for being right, just for being. Darkness is not dark to you. Maybe this is what it means to be known, not judged, but accompanied. God sees me in the basement, in the fallout, in the hush after the fight. God says, "Yes, still yes." That's what undoes me. The night is lit, and I am somehow not alone. And the moving forward suggestion for this Sunday, take one truth you've been afraid to speak and hold it in the light. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a prayer from Father Richard Rohr. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living and loving in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and with other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our hearts' longings for the healing of our world. Knowing you're hearing us much better than we're speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.